It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. If you've been doing any air travel lately, you don't need me to tell you about the frustrating delays Americans have been experiencing at airports across the country. A week ago today, the U.S. Senate approved a plan to end furloughs of air traffic controllers in order to alleviate infuriated travelers' exasperation over canceled and delayed flights. The day after that, the House voted to provide more flexibility over where to make cuts required by the government sequester. I'm joined now by phone from Scranton by Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Bob Casey. Senator Casey, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, good to be with you.
Let's start by having you explain what this bill allows the Federal Aviation Administration to do.
Well, it gives them some flexibility during the implementation of the across-the-board indiscriminate cuts we know as by the phrase sequester, or the process called sequestration, meaning that there's across-the-board cutting in the federal government, and that makes it very difficult to conduct some government operations. And part of the challenge has been what do we do about the impact of that on air traffic and the commerce and ultimately the jobs that can be created when you have airports and air traffic control towers that can be functioning. So it allows the FAA under the Department of Transportation to have some flexibility so they don't have to have these closures across the country, which would result in not only longer lines, but much more limited air travel. So it's a good result to have at least that one part of sequestration altered a bit to deal with a real problem. My frustration with it is that although it's the right policy, it doesn't answer the larger question: why is sequestration still in effect, and why don't we come together in a bipartisan way and come up with a strategy to reverse it completely, so that we don't have the kind of job loss which will result after sequestration is in effect for a year, and we're coming up on we're into about the third month of it now.
Is there any way for the Congress to revisit the whole sequester issue, recognizing, as you have, that the government can't run things in such an inefficient manner?
Absolutely. We tried earlier this year. We had a number of votes. One vote in particular where I was supporting a strategy that would have an equal amount of cut and new revenue by closing a couple of tax loopholes, which would result in enough savings where you wouldn't have to have the sequester go into effect. We didn't get enough votes for that. But I think we should revisit that issue and try again to come up with a bipartisan solution. I think the thinking at the time was, even if that were not adopted, that we would have a chance later in the year to come back to it. I think that's what we should do, because I don't care who you are, Democrat, Republican, liberal, or conservative, no business, no family would do their budgeting this way. It's across-the-board cutting, so if you run an inefficient program that isn't that important because it has nothing to do with our economic growth or our security, you get cut the same as a very effective national security program, for example. So it doesn't make any sense, and we should try to come together and reverse it again.
Now that there's more flexibility over where to make cuts required by the sequester, does this mean that disaster is averted on a case-by-case or issue-by-issue basis, as with the flight delays? And is this the ideal way to operate?
No, it isn't. We should deal with the whole problem at once. If you say that sequestration is bad public policy, as I do, I think it is bad public policy, you can't just continue to do piecemeal changes to it. We'd all be better off if we could get a larger, more comprehensive approach that would reverse the sequester, but do some cutting. Do cutting that makes sense. Add some revenue so that you have the kind of balance that should be achieved. You know, if we allow sequestration to go the whole distance, meaning have it go into effect the whole year, just give you two examples of the impact. One is in the area of defense. We know, whether it's in southwestern Pennsylvania or across the state, indiscriminate cuts to defense lead to big job loss. One study this past summer by George Mason University did a state-by-state analysis, and they concluded that Pennsylvania could lose almost 78,500 jobs, 78,459 to be exact, with that would be either direct defense cuts or job loss that would result from defense cuts. So that even if that number, that estimate is off by 1,000 or 10,000 or 20,000, it's unacceptable. We should never allow that kind of job loss when it's not based upon a strategy to do appropriate cost cutting, which we know we have to do. The other good example, and I shouldn't say good example, the other instructive example, which will be bad public policy, is if sequestration stayed in effect, the medical research job loss would be more than 1,200 jobs in Pennsylvania, more than 20,500 jobs nationally. So that's a part of our economy where we have a huge advantage over many countries. It's a big part of our high-paying jobs, and it's also the one part of our economy where it's about healing and hope and medical breakthroughs.
You mentioned you want to create new revenue to balance these cuts, and certainly among the compromises that have been proposed is creating, for example, tax revenue by closing loopholes for upper-income people. If that isn't the compromise, then where is the common ground where Congress can say, okay, this is a deal we can live with, and now we can get rid of the sequester?
Yeah, it's hard to say with precision where that common ground is. But I do think that at the time we were voting on those measures, it was prior to the implementation of sequestration, which began in March. So we've got 2 months of evidence and operations to look to. It may take longer. It may be that in the month of May, people have to, legislators, House members and senators have to look at this again. But I think we have a better sense of what the impact of it is. And I don't think anyone is satisfied, or nor should they be satisfied with this approach to cost cutting. So we have to look for where we can agree and look for areas beyond control towers and air travel.
As you're back in the state for a few days, what are you hearing from people in Pennsylvania?
Well, I think I think the frustration that people have about this, about sequestration, and even about the challenges that relate to air travel, I think are in many ways consistent with the frustration they have with the gridlock in Washington. And they expect members of Congress to look for ways to work together and come together to solve the nation's problems that are fiscal or economic in nature, or at a minimum to make every effort to bring people together. And that's what I hear. In some ways, sequestration is in some ways just one of the leading indicators of how Washington isn't working, and probably one of the leading areas of frustration. So I hear that even in the absence of this debate about sequestration, I think I'd be hearing a lot of frustration, and they tell us more than anything, other than creating jobs and saying, try to move the economy forward, people say to me, work together, get things done, and work things out in a bipartisan fashion.
It's the Central Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Bob Casey. Your fellow senator from Pennsylvania, Pat Toomey, was co-sponsoring gun legislation in the Senate to increase background checks, among other things. His bill was defeated. When we spoke to him a couple of weeks back, he said, as far as he's concerned, he's done with the issue. Is there any way, Senator Casey, someone might be able to pick up the pieces on this, especially considering that the overwhelming majority of the American public wants to at least expand background checks?
Yeah, I think we'll come back to it. I think the Senate will come back to it at some point. I don't know exactly when, whether it'll be this year, but I hope we could have another vote later this year. Number two, Pat Toomey and Joe Manchin did good work here, and we want to use that foundation to build on. There was no one 6-8 months ago before the horrific tragedy of Newtown, Connecticut. I don't think there's anyone who was predicting that there'd be any kind of bipartisan work on gun legislation, nor would there be anyone predicting we'd actually get a vote on this. So just the fact that there was a vote and we got substantial support for it, 55 votes, means that there's an opportunity here, but also a foundation, really, to build on. So I would hope we can do that, and I think we can. I think there's a willingness, and I think the American people are demanding it. But frankly, and I don't want to in any way downgrade the work that was done by people in both parties in the background check, but if that bill had passed and were signed into law by the president, it would be a good measure of progress, but it would in no way prevent another Newtown, nor prevent a number of tragedies. The only way we're going to answer that question with, answer it in a way that's a complete response to the families that suffered so terribly is to take other steps. The magazines, the number of bullets one person has for one gun at one time, that has to be dealt with here. No background check law will be enough to prevent the kind of killing that was done in Newtown. No background check would have prevented him from getting the weapon he got. So I think we have to couple the background check issue, or I should say add to the background check issue, with a ban on the military-style weapons, and also, and maybe more urgently, is a ban on the magazine, so that you don't have 30 bullets at a time. Limit that in a reasonable, even 10 is a very reasonable limit. This is a man who shot more than 150 bullets in 5 minutes and tore those children to pieces. And we can't just walk away from that and say there's nothing we can do here. We've got to keep coming back to this issue, because the horror here was what happened. What should haunt every one of us, especially those of us who have a vote that can have an impact on this, what should haunt all of us is the fact that he was intending to kill hundreds of children, and hundreds more would have died if he had more time. So we just can't allow that to happen in our country, and we've got to take steps to prevent it.
Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Bob Casey joining us by phone from Scranton. We've covered a wide range of issues. Senator, thank you so much for your time and for joining us again here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, thank you.
Coming up, it's the Battle of the Brains. We'll go behind the scenes of the Big Brain Theory on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.